Thank you, Rasmussen family. Church of the Warm Heart, good morning. You're probably thinking, what on earth are we doing? Or if you're a guest, you're with us. Like, I did not know Methodists did this. We Methodists have five Sundays where we take a special offering and a special recognition of service, certain ministries. And today is Native American Sunday for the Methodist Church. And so every year they come on in and do us a drum circle and dance, and we appreciate all of you. They might be escaping because they saw they were here at the first service and they heard the sermon and they've had enough of that. So they're on their way. There we go. My name is Michael Beneshek. I'm one of your Warm Heart pastors, and it's just a joy to have you with us here this morning. If you're joining us online, wherever you may be watching or whatever day you're watching, hello. We are blessed to have you with us. Just a couple announcements before we all get to stand up and sing today. And I don't have them, but I'll use the bulletin. So Saturday, trivia night, bake sale, teams of six. We fill up the Family Life Center with trivia. You're welcome to join. If you don't have a team, show up, and I bet you they'll try to put you into a team of six so we can just have fun. This is for the mission trip. You'll see some of those kids up here a little later. We're doing a memory book for Pastor Jen, and I had a sheet. I just gave it away. So right out there, there's a sheet of paper that we're looking to. Yeah, that looks a whole lot like this. So Pastor Jen is not here right now, and if you're watching Pastor Jen, you're on vacation. Stop watching. Pastor Jen has been with us for 8 years, and she is being appointed to Southside Methodist Church in Nampa. So since she's not here, we're going to take this opportunity for us to kind of prepare a little bit for a present. We're making a memory book, kind of like a scrapbook, except it's all pre-printed ahead of time. If you have a memory of Jen or just want to say good luck, something like that, fill out the back of this, turn it in. We could use your picture also from the directory, or if you have another picture. If you've been on some ministries or retreats with Pastor Jen and you have a couple pictures, we'll put them in as well, but we need these by the end of May so we can put that book together. So thank you, Dave. Awesome. 2 weeks from now, the kids will be, all our children's will be in this service, and they'll be presenting to us a musical called Jailhouse Rock. Is that the name? Jailhouse Rock. It's about the Paul and Silas story. In there, I've been told Elvis is going to show up. You all didn't ask my permission to see if Elvis could be here, but Elvis is you don't need my permission. Elvis is going to be in the building, so that's 2 weeks from now. And I think there's going to be they're practicing on Wednesdays, and I think next Sunday there'll be a practice as well. But we look forward to having you there with us, musicians. I got to ask, are you ready? Do show me joyful. Are you joyful? Our opening song is Joyful. Are you joyful? Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and look joyful. Let's stand and sing.
the peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He has risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow.
Gets us down, we know that you can build us back up again. Whether it be financial issues, we will rise. Whether it be that visit to the doctor that we're not too sure about, we will rise. Whether it's a procedure, whether it's just relatives that are hard to deal with, we will rise. And Lord, we know that when our life is over, when our eyes are finally closed in sleep, we will rise again. We go from life to life. So, Lord, whatever's weighing on our hearts today, give us the courage to face the future unafraid. Give us the strength to face the challenges that are before us. For we know, oh God, that in all things we trust in you. We come together in the name of Jesus. Jesus who provided miracles. Jesus who heals. Jesus who told us how to live, how to love, how to forgive. Jesus who is the center of our life. So again, we go from life to life and we find that life abundantly. In your Son's name, we pray the words that we may someday live by. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us in Christian love.
In case you don't know me, I'm Nicole Walker, youth minister here, and today I have the joy of introducing our mission team for the summer. We do have two more teens who weren't able to be here for this service, but we have 8 teenagers this year and 3 adult chaperones, and we're going to be partnering with CUNA UMC. They have 5 teenagers coming with us and 1 chaperone as well, so that's pretty exciting, new partnerships. But I just wanted to introduce the kids and ask for your prayers for us as we prepare for our trip and head out. You know, we'll always take your money too, but more than anything, we want your prayers. I love to give you something tangible that you can hold on to, some kind of physical reminder of the trip and the ministries that we're doing as a youth group. So this year we have these cards, has our lovely photos on them, a few prayer requests on the back, and I, if I can time it right, I'll be passing these out at the end of the service. I can't be at all the places at once. But yeah, we'd love for you to take one of these cards and use it as a reminder to pray for us. And then if you would like to make a donation at any time, you're welcome to do that. You can just donate in the offering plate and just mark it mission trip. You can make an online donation, or you can, you know, hand one of us cash and we'll use it for the mission trip, I promise.
When is the mission trip?
The mission trip is June 16 to 22, so it's just over 2 months from today.
Awesome.
Wild.
Cool. Have a seat. You're going to join us for children's time, and there might be some other kids out there. I'll give you 1 second. If anyone fifth grade and below, come on up for your children's time. Question about the mission trip. How do you get a shirt if they want a shirt?
You get to go on the mission trip to get one of these.
Ooh, you get to go on the mission trip. I bet you for $50, someone will sell you their shirt after the mission trip, although I don't know if you want it after that. It's going to get hot up there in June. Good to see you. Thank you. So when I was about their age, maybe your age, I had an assignment from school. And the teacher says, tell me what your house in the future will look like. Not with technology, but what kind of house do you want to live in? Tell me about the house. And it was designed to help, you know, write paragraphs and English stuff. But I wrote it out. And at that time in my life, I was in a weird stage where I didn't want to be around anybody. I wanted a Henry David Thoreau this thing and live off in the woods all by myself. I know you've never had that thought, but I've had that thought. And so my house, it was a fancy teepee. It was like a four-story teepee. That was the house I wanted to live in. And I drew up the TV, and I had the refrigerator over here, and I had the TV over here, and it was all decked out. But it was literally a teepee because I wanted to live all by myself. And I got over myself pretty quick later on in life. And then I kind of went the other way. Instead of not living by anybody, I don't want anybody, la, 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 la. I went way over here on the other side of life. And I was with everybody, but I wanted everyone to think exactly like me. I wanted everyone to believe everything that I believed. That all the things that were important to me should be important to them. And how do you think that worked? Not so much, right? I can't even get my spouse to agree with me on stuff. How am I supposed to get her? So the extremes are never good. All by myself, and I want to be with people, but only people who are exactly like me. And if I only hang out with people who are exactly like me, do you know how many people I get to hang out with? Nobody. Again, I'm back by myself. God has made such a wonderful world. Full of diversity. We have diversity in the animal kingdom. We have diversity among the humankind. Differing ideas, different hues, different languages, different places to live, different ideologies. And yet we're all supposed to get along. So that's pretty cool. One thing I like about when Methodists go on mission trips, and I'll brag, and I'm gonna brag on the Methodists here for a second. When we go on mission trips, our job is not to go make more Methodists. We don't go out and say, go ye therefore, go get more Methodists. You don't go door to door asking, hey, have you heard about John Wesley? Nothing like that. You know what they do on mission trips? They work. We don't tell them what they're going to do because they won't go, but they'll find out when they get there. But they love and they provide comfort. And they support each other. They might paint houses. They might be digging ditches. Remember that mission trip. Who knows what they're going to do, but they're going to do it in love. Now, if showing love and caring for other people makes more Methodists, great. But we just want to love. That's what we're called to do. So thank you to all of them, and thank you to all of you who are growing into this. But let's pray. God above, we give thanks for these children, these youth, these young adults, and these chaperones that as they prepare for their trip or the trips that they will someday go on, we just ask that you bless them. Bless them so that they might be a blessing to those they touch. Keep them safe until we see each other again, and in your son's name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down, and thanks for playing along. More talking about money, offertory. Thank you to those who faithfully participate to the giving to the ministries of this church. Like I said, it's Native American Sunday. Some of our apportionment, what we send to the United Methodist Church, goes to support Native American ministries, not only across the U.S., but up here in the greater Northwest. We have a program called Circle of Indigenous Ministries that provides care, support, congregational help to some of our Native American tribes and churches within those locations. Here in the Oregon, Idaho Conference, the person in charge for us, his name is Dr. Alan Buck. He is the senior pastor at Great Spirit United Methodist Church. It's in Portland, but they do a lot of ministries, camping stuff with all the kids and older adult ministries, not only in Portland, but across our conference. So parts of our offertory through our apportionments goes to support our Native Americans, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us receive the offertory.
Today's scripture is 1 John 35 through 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter.
Our first kid. For whatever sense of humor that God has, he trusted us with a baby. I mean, does God even know us? You know, after the baby's born, you have that day or two in the hospital, and everything's fine, and the nurses and the doctors, they take care of you. They wheel the baby away for a while, then they bring the baby back for its feeding. But eventually, they kick you out of the hospital. And you're like, seriously, what am I supposed to do with this? And I remember Christian in my arms looking up at me. And he already has us identified. There's mom, and there's not mom. Anybody who holds this kid, he knows mom and he knows not mom. We're all not moms. And if he was in the not mom category, he would get fussy. And then the tears and the bawling. And it's not the kid's fault. It's what babies do, right? And I remember holding him going, "What do you want? Do you want food? You just had food. Do you need burped? How are your ears? Do you have an itch or a scratch that you don't know how to get to yet? I changed your diaper 8 times in the last hour. Is it time? No, we're still fine there. Do you want laid down, picked up, thrown in the air? I don't know what you want." Babies cannot articulate what they want. They just have a need. And they do what they can to get your attention. And honestly, it's not just babies. We have needs as well. So I want to ask you, what do you want? I mean, really, what do you want? If you could have anything in the world, what is it that you would really like? What is it that you want out of life? There are many stories of want in the Bible. The people of Israel, I'll just pick on Exodus. The people of Israel wanted out of slavery. They wanted water to drink, then bread and meat to eat. They wanted a place to call home, and then they wanted a king, and they wanted to live at peace with their neighbors. There's nothing wrong with these requests. That's what I like reading about these stories out of Scripture. They're just honest people who, just like us, need things. Just like us. We're beginning a new sermon series that will last through May, and we're calling it Questions Jesus Asked. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get the stories of Jesus. This is the start of the New Testament. And we think that Jesus gives us answers. But what he really gives us are a lot of questions. If you got one of those red letter Bibles at home, you know what red letter Bibles are? The Bibles that have the red letters, the words of Jesus. So many of the red letters end in question marks. He asks a lot of questions. Someone counted them up in the red letters, three in this one version, I think NIV, 307 different questions Jesus asked. Big deal, I hear you say. Well, he's the Son of God who knows everything, our deepest longings, our deepest needs. And he asks us questions. Doesn't he know the answers? Or does in the questioning make us discover the answers for ourselves? He was a master at asking great questions. The kinds of questions that people pondered, that prompted self-awareness, the kinds of questions that led to repentance, forgiveness, a life abundant. So how can we be more like Jesus instead of jumping in with our opinions and our right answers? How can we begin to ask great questions that lead to the way and the truth and the life? So in these 7 weeks, we will take a look at seven different questions that Jesus asked. I cherry-picked the seven that I wanted. Some are real ponderers, and some are just kind of offhand remarks that Jesus makes that we're going to turn into a life lesson and or sermon. But today, we're going to get to the very first line that Jesus has in the Gospel of John, and it's a question. The narrative with the Gospel of John, it actually begins with another John, a different John, that John. We call that John, John the
Baptist.
Yeah, you all know your Bible. John opens up with the ministry of John the Baptist starting to wane down and the ministry of Jesus starting on the rise. John's got disciples, John the Baptist. And matter of fact, in what Lisa read for us today, John told some of his disciples, as Jesus was walking by, there goes the Lamb of God. He shouldn't have done this because he lost two of his disciples. Two of them abandoned John. One is Andrew. Who's Andrew, I hear you ask? Andrew, we know a lot about Andrew compared to some other disciples. Andrew was the very first disciple of Jesus. And he would later bring Peter to Christ, what Lisa read for us. Later on, anytime Andrew's in the story, he's bringing someone else. He brings Gentiles to Jesus. The next time Andrew shows up, he's bringing this boy who has fish to go feed the multitude with the bread and loaves story, bread and fish story, right? Everywhere Andrew is, he is ushering people in. We used to call, in the traditional church, Andrew the usher. That's what he did. He ushered people to Christ. Here at our church, we also have ushers. If you've ever been an ushers, we've got some ushers. We've got some ushers. That's right. Ushers, you play an important role. You are not just handing out bulletins. You're not just taking the offertory. You're not just telling people where the bathrooms are. You are literally bringing people in to hear the word of God, to learn about the life of Jesus. You are an usher. Take that job with seriousness. A long time ago, my kids used to call church ushers church bouncers, which they could be as well. If there's an issue, you can help. You know what it is. But I liked how Andrew evangelized. He didn't give a theological treatise. He didn't throw scriptures around. But I loved his attitude. It was just, hey, come check this out. I want to share something with you. That's how Andrew evangelized. And if those times where I don't know what to say, those moments where like, oh, I got to do that evangelism thing. Verily I say, what word should I use? Honestly, I should just be like Andrew. Like, hey, I want to invite you somewhere. I want you to hear this. And maybe that could work for you too. The number one reason people come to church for the very first time, it's not because of the pastor. It's not because of the building. It's because, for the most part, they get invited. Just invite someone and say, hey, come check us out. I want to show you something. Or maybe if this is your first time, like, I'm here by myself. That's great. You found us online. God bless. Thank you for checking us out. So John lost two disciples, Andrew and the other one. And the other one, his name is? It doesn't say. We don't know. It never says who this other disciple is. Now, tradition states that it is the disciple John, not John the Baptist, but John the disciple, who would later become, you know, Jesus' disciple and write the Gospel of John. A lot of Johns. But he knows the story firsthand. Firsthand enough to say this happened 4 o'clock in the afternoon. John's a weird cat. He never names himself in his own gospel. He never says the disciple John, or John, he doesn't even say, and I went to. He keeps himself kind of in a weird part of the story. Like, you might think, is it pride that's keeping him away? It's like, no, because later on he says the disciple that Jesus loved. He's referring to himself. But he never says John. So we think it's John, Andrew and John. And so here we are. They're following Jesus because John the Baptist said, this is the Lamb of God. And we get Jesus' first words. He turns around and says, or asks, what do you want? Now we could hear this phrase in good old King James Jesus. Verily I say unto thee, what is it that you seek? Or you can do a little, you know, Bronx sarcasm. What do you want? Why are you following me? It would freak me out if two people were following me when I didn't have followers yet. Right? I'd like to go for the first one. But Andrew and John, they don't answer that question. They don't answer the question. What do you want? They could answer, we seek eternal life. That'd be a good answer. We seek the answers to life, the universe, everything. They don't ask that. They could have asked, we seek the Christ, the one of God, anointed, the one who was foretold. They could have said something like that, but they don't. Their answer is telling of their wish-washiness, or at least caution. What do you want? And they say, where are you staying? That's your question? You have the Son of God right in front of you? Who could answer anything that you could possibly want? And your question is, what's your room number? Jesus does not answer them either. His answer is also cryptic. Come and see. Come and see. No address. No inn name. Not the Galilean Inn and Garden Suites. Doesn't tell them that. And see, they did. The first disciples. The first of 12 who would change the world. If Jesus asked you that question, what are you looking for? What do you want? You came in here today looking for something. Maybe it was a word of encouragement. Maybe it was a lesson from a Bible. Maybe 58 reasons why people are in this room today. And they're all different. So in the time I have left, I just want to give a couple of quick pointers as you think about how you would answer that question, what do you want? First, and this might sound too forward, but just ask. ask. If we really believe in God and his ability to help, you know, why don't we call on God more often? Why don't we shoot our prayers to the heavens? God, I'm going to try to figure this out on my own first, and then I'll come to you. Why don't we go to God first? And I'll be honest, I'm a pastor. I believe in this stuff, and yet I wait. And maybe the reasons that I wait are the same reasons that you wait as well. Because there's times that I think, well, you know what I want is too trivial. It's small potatoes. There's wars going on. Why would God care? If I'm driving on Franklin and I'm getting to the light's green, oh Lord, let it be green. Because if it turns red, it's a 5-minute wait. Your lights are impossible here. And then I think, well, there's something going on in Palestine. Why does God care about a red light? He cares about everybody. Even just those small prayers, use them. We might think that we're being selfish when we ask. Or maybe we think, you know, God used to work that way, but God doesn't do a whole lot of miracles today. I've seen a miracle or two. Or maybe we think that God doesn't want us to have good things, or maybe God wants us to suffer a bit. That's not God. Or we think that God is too busy helping other people who are in need. Or maybe we just sometimes forget that he still loves us. God, I'm not a saint. Why would you help me? Let me tell you something. Your Father in heaven is crazy about you. He's crazy about you. He loves you and he wants nothing but the best for you. And I didn't really know this until I had my own kids, how sometimes this works. I love my kids, and every now and then, I'd get something from the back seat. Hey, Dad, can we go to Dairy Queen today? Yeah. It's been days. We haven't been to Dairy Queen in 2 months. Let's go to Dairy Queen. It wasn't even on my radar, but just the fact that they asked, all right. All right, where's the water tower? I got to find out. Dairy Queen's right by the water tower. Ask. You never know. James chapter 5 says it like this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Give it a shot. Another spiritual hint. Ask specifically. Ask specifically. Say what you want in high definition. I got to do this with my family all the time. I want to go to the coast. All right, we'll go to the coast. And they're like, oh, which coast? Right, which one do you want? I'm getting buzzes right now on my phone. I've got a text message thing going for my kids. Because every now and then we eat out. All my references have to do with food. I got to change that somehow. A couple of them are here. I'm going to pick up something on the way home. What do you ever do this? I did this a couple nights ago. What do you want? I'm going to the store. What do you want for supper? And one of my kids texted back, I want, you know, something. All right, I'll get you something. And they didn't like the something that I got. They're going to learn. You be specific or I'll just get what I want and that'll be that. You've never played this game before, right? Two of you, where do you want to eat? I don't care, where do you want to eat? I don't care, where do you want to eat? I don't care, where do you want to eat? Well, let's go to Olive Garden. I don't want Olive Garden. Let's go to Popeyes. I don't want Popeyes. Well, where do you want to eat? I don't care. Yes, you do. You said no twice to two things. Like, what do you want? My wife at home sick today. She watched the first service, so I think I can get away with it in this one because she's not watching. But for like the first 10 years of our marriage, I got to pick where we eat because she was never, I don't care where we eat. Great. And I'd just start driving. Where are we going? You don't care. I don't know. I'll just go where I want. So away we went. Yeah. I just got a text. Dang it. No, she tells me what she wants from Culver's. All right, cashew salad, raspberry vinaigrette. Cool. All right. Let me try a non-food story. 18 years ago, we're doing a new church start. This is my third church. They asked me to start a brand new church on one side of town. My first church, I was the associate pastor. I was kind of like a Pastor Jen. We had 800 people in church at this church. My second church, I had 300 people. I was on my own. My third church, I had nobody. This is not good career development. But we're doing a new church start, and we need some funds. And there's a church on the other side of town, of the city, that was going to sponsor us. But they didn't have the money, so we had to go ask for money. So we got an appointment with the president of the regional banker, think like an ICCU kind of bank, who also happened to be Methodist. And so I got to go in there to talk to the bankers. Mary Poppins, in case you're curious. So, but I go in with the pastor of the church that's going to sponsor us. And the banker knows why I'm there. But he says, "What can I do for you?" And I go into my 5-minute spiel about what we're doing. And after about 5 minutes, the banker says, stop. What do you want from me? And I didn't know exactly what to say, so I stammered out, you know, we need money to get this thing off the ground. And my pastor friend, who's much older and wiser than I am, leaned over and said, "He wants a number." $100,000. Swing for the fences, baby, right? And he says, and the banker says, "Okay." And my jaw, like, holy snot, this works. Right? Now, we didn't get $100,000. I'll be up front. We didn't, boom. But there were tens of thousands of dollars that he gave to the other church to sponsor us over here. We weren't our own 501c3 yet, so we had to kind of go through a run. But just ask specifically. You never know. In the end, many people seek many different things from Jesus then and now. Just like babies, sometimes disciples cannot articulate what they want. They just know, we just know we have a need. So maybe I need to examine my prayer life every now and then. Am I praying for myself or for others? Do I pray for things? Do I pray for him? Do I pray for a blessing, or do I pray to be a blessing? Jesus asked the question, "What do you want?" And I think he asked that today to us. What do you want? And as I look at the disciples' answers, Lord, where are you staying? What I get from the disciples' answer is this. They simply wanted to spend time with Jesus. They simply wanted to spend a moment with the Savior. So when Jesus asks us, "What do you want?" You know, our answer could be a lot of things, but somewhere in there, I'm hoping it's something like, "I want to be more like you. I want to learn about this life of love, of forgiveness, of reconciliation. I want to learn how to live at peace with the people around me." And if we answer that question like that, then I promise you, Jesus is going to say, "Come and see. Come and see." And the family of God said, "Amen." Amen. Our closing song. Let's stand and sing as we are able. I just had this invitation, "Come and see," and then we're going to sing a song about "I'll Fly Away," about us leaving. I think it's going to start off kind of slow, but it might pick up a little bit.
Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Some bright morning when this life is over, we'll be right back.
and all the time. And as we fly away from here, may God's love, blessings, and peace go with you all, knowing that you are loved. Amen.